It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I think that the main theme in this technical difficulty is it got green. I think the main theme in this passage is made alive in Christ. Made alive in Christ. And just the other day, I heard a story about a little girl named Rebecca. Rebecca was starting first grade. And during her first week in first grade, Rebecca made a friend, another first grader named Rachel. And during their first week in school, Rachel, Rebecca's friend, lost a tooth. Well, Rachel, Rebecca's friend, went home and put the tooth under a pillow. Done that? Okay. And she pretended to be asleep. You know, she was playing possum. That's what we called it all the time. Playing possum like she was dead, but sleeping. And then her dad came in, took the tooth, and it was her dad. And he put the money under her pillow. The very next day, Rachel came to school and told her friend, Rebecca, "I know who the tooth fairy is." "Really? Who?" said Rebecca excitedly. "It's my dad," Rachel said. Well, Rebecca could hardly believe it. She remembers running home after school that day and telling her mom, "Mom, Mom, I know who the tooth fairy is." And her mom said, "Really? Who is the tooth fairy?" And Rebecca said, "Rachel's dad is the tooth fairy. It's Ronnie Loberfeld. He's the tooth fairy." And her mom listened and said, "Rebecca, I can't believe you know. This is a total secret. Now, Rebecca, you can't tell anyone, but you are right. Ronnie is the tooth fairy." Well, guess what? Not all of our beliefs are facts. Not everything that people tell us is true. Many people believe false ideas about all kinds of stuff, including their spiritual condition and how to get to heaven. So today, let's look at what God says rather than what people say about our condition and how to get to heaven. The book of Ephesians starts out in chapter 1 with a doxology, praising what God the Father did by predestining us to believe, and what Jesus did by redeeming us, and what the Holy Spirit did by regenerating us. And then it continues with a prayer about our spiritual growth. We might understand these things and put these things into practice, get to know Jesus better and better every day of our lives. And then in chapter 2, Paul begins to explain God's wonderful work of grace. I mean, it's wonderful. Wonderful work of grace. So today, let's look at three facts about being made alive in Christ. Three facts. Fact number one, what we were in the past is described in verses 1 through 3. I'll read it again. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. It doesn't say you were sick. It says you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live. Used to live means you were always like this. You were always walking around. Literally, that's what it says. You were always walking around this way. When you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who live, not just some of us, but all of us, that means everybody, lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Well, those three verses explain the bad news. It's very bad news, isn't it? That we're sinners, that we're depraved, that we're separate from God. We've been separated from God by our sin. And the problem is, people were physically alive, but dead spiritually. Kind of like walking zombies. Walking zombies who didn't know that they were dead. They were non-responsive to God spiritually, unable to react, alienated, separated from God by sin. And this sin is described pretty graphically in verse 1. It says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And it uses these two words that are the most common words to describe sin in the New Testament. The first one is transgressions. And you could translate that as falling, as slipping, as stumbling, or just even going the wrong way. You know, it gets pretty clear what transgressions are. You know what God's rule is, God's law is, and you go the other way. And then the second word is harmatia, sin. And it means like if you ever have a bow and arrow and you miss the mark, like you're out hunting deer with your bow and arrow, and your favorite buck comes by, and you hit the tree that's right in front of him. You know, you miss the mark. I've done that. So, and it says that we walked in these things. We were walking around, continuous tense. We were always controlled. We were always, our lives were determined by transgressions and sins before we knew Jesus. And you know, the Bible is very direct about this. And you can see that as you follow the pronouns through verses 1 through 3. It says, second person singular, you were dead. And it says, you formerly, plural, you formerly walked like this. And then plural, first person plural, we, all of us, formerly lived this way. So the pronouns are you, and us, all of us were like this. Every one of us was like this. And we're not talking about our neighbors. We're not talking about the McCoy family. We're not talking about the guys over yonder. We're talking about us. Us, this is personal. We walked around according to the ways or the course of this world. In other words, we went along with the crowd. We walked around according to the prince and the power of the air. We obeyed Satan. We, every day, filled our lungs with polluted unbelief. We stayed in bondage. We walked around according to the lusts of the flesh. We did whatever suited the desires of our bodies and our minds. We walked around indulging the desires of the flesh. We did what we wanted, and we did what we felt like doing all the time. We walked around not as children of grace, not people who were saved, but as children of wrath, doomed forever and ever and ever by our sin. No way out except through Jesus. No way to get away from that sin, that bondage, except through Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, recently, I read a story about a person who likes to sail. And several times he sailed his boat, his sailing boat, from California to Hawaii. And so he knows where the currents are. And he says, he claims that there is actually an ocean current off the coast of Mexico that will carry a boat at a rate of 10 inches per minute. It's not very fast if you're going to Hawaii from California, but 10 inches per minute to close to the Hawaiian islands from California. But you don't get exactly where you want to go. You just get close. You don't get to see the mountains or the volcanoes or the beaches. Still quite a difference away. Just by going with the flow, you don't get to where you want to go. Or because it only gets you there 10 inches per minute, it doesn't get you there in the time period that you want to arrive. It's easy to go with the flow. It's what a lot of people are doing in our society. The majority of people out here are just going with the flow, what everybody else does. But you know what's also funny about going with the flow? If you go with the flow, guess what's in the flow? A lot of dead fish. Dead fish. So if you don't want to be around dead fish, you know what dead fish smell like after a while? Don't be one of those dead fish. Don't be one of the dead ones. Recognize your sin. Repent from your sin. Turn to Jesus. He'll make you alive. Alive in Jesus Christ. But that's the first fact. What we were in the past. We were dead in our sin. Second fact, what we are in the present, look at verses 4 through 6, is actually, chapter 2 contains one sentence in Greek. Verses 1 through 7 is one sentence in the original Greek. So we're kind of breaking up the sentence here. Verses 4 through 6 says this, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." So verses 4 and 6 tells us the good news. Verses 1 through 3 is the very, very bad news. But verses 4 through 6 is the very, very good news. And it starts out with this contrast. You know, you're kind of reading along, and then you see this Greek word, duh, and then theos, but God. And it's like 46 times in the New Testament when you come across this huge contrast. You were dead. You had no chance. But God did something. God intervened in his world to help us. And so the focus here moves from the sinfulness of man to the action and character of God. It seemed really unlikely at this point that God would help us, because our sins actually offend God. We offend his holiness because he's totally holy. We're totally sinful. But by his great love, he loved us. It's agape. It's all about agape love here in action. God showed his mercy, and in three ways it's described in verses 4, 5, and 6. First of all, he made us alive together with Christ. This is a gift. It's by grace. You can't deserve it, can't earn it, can't buy it. It's by grace. You know, above all, what does a dead person need? Life, right? He needs life. And so when a person receives Jesus as their Savior, our hearts begin to beat spiritually. Do this with me. I'm going to do this 5 times. Imagine it's your heart. Receive Jesus spiritually. Your heart comes alive. Before it was what? Dead. receive Jesus, the life comes into you. Secondly, he raised us up with him. We have been united with him. We have a new citizenship. We have a new family. We have new responsibilities in that family. And thirdly, he seated us with him in heavenly places. He prepared heaven for us. He has given us standing with Jesus with honor and authority. Several years ago, Cindy and I, like 15 years ago, Cindy and I were in East Cleveland. Bruce, you probably will recognize where I was, okay? East Cleveland, close to East 105th Street. At least, okay? At the intersection of Woodland and Woodhill Road. You know, all those houses there, two stories, red brick, tar roofs, building after building after building. At nighttime, you don't stop at the stoplights. The police don't stop at the stoplights either. You just go. You go. Okay? It's a bad part of town. And we were going door to door, knocking on people's doors and talking with them about Jesus. Sometimes people would open the door and their eyes would be really big and they would say, "Do you know where you are?" I said, yeah, I know. I know where we are. But, you know, eventually we came to Ashley's apartment. We didn't know this lady. And she very kindly invited us inside her house. And once inside, we like instantly noticed how poorly furnished the apartment was. And one thing that struck me was the floors were wore out. You know, when we bought our house, we fixed our floors. We tore all the linoleum off. There were like 7 layers of linoleum in our bathrooms, in our kitchen. And you get down to the oldest one, it's like 1950. You know, it's like this oily type linoleum. And that's what they had in their house. And it was wore. I mean, there were places where it wore through the linoleum. And there was one chair in the kitchen next to a broken kitchen table. Okay? It's like 3 legs on this table. In the living room, there was only 1 Christmas tree. And Ashley told us later that she had recently thrown out everything because of the bed bugs and the cockroaches. That's why she got rid of everything at her house that we were in. And in the kitchen, then I asked Ashley if we could share with her, Cindy and I could share with her, how she could know Jesus better. And so Cindy took this Evanga cube, I have a copy of it here, and went through this thing and shared the gospel with her. And Cindy will do this with you afterwards. If anybody wants to go through this and see how you can share gospel using this thing, she'll train you how to do that. But, you know, after Cindy did that, we asked Ashley, you know, in the darkness of that apartment, in that hopelessness of that place, if she wanted to know Jesus as her Savior. And she did. And we watched. At the beginning of the conversation, her heart was like this. And as she received Jesus, the blood started to flow. She became alive in Jesus Christ. God wonderfully intervened in Ashley's life and saved her. It was all by grace through faith. Ashley was dead in her sins before we walked through that door. And after we left, she was a new babe in Jesus Christ. That quick. That quick. Boom. Boom. Fact number 3, what we shall be in the future. Look at verses 7 through 10. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we've talked about the past, we've talked about the present, and now Paul's words turn to talk about the future, to the ultimate culmination which God had planned for them. In verse 7, it talks about in the coming ages. And that refers to the eternal ages in the future. that will be ushered in when Christ returns. You know, one of the great reasons why we receive Jesus as our Savior is so we don't go to hell. That's one of the great reasons. But also, a secondary reason is that we might glorify God forever and ever because of his wonderful grace. And when we're in heaven, Jesus is the only person who's going to be there who has scars. We'll see the wounds in his hands. We'll see the wounds in his feet. We'll see the hole in his side where he went to the cross and died for you and me. And we'll always be reminded of that. We'll always be wonderfully thankful about what God did. He took the Lamb of God, and he was nailed to a cross, and he rose from the dead for our sin, for us, so we might have eternal life. Grace means salvation completely apart from any works or merit on our part. You know, in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it's like a church verse almost around here. If you go into a gym, you'll see it's written on the wall in there. By grace, you've been saved through faith. Our salvation is a gift of God. It's not a reward. Our salvation is not by works, even good works, even good stuff we do. That won't save us. The work of salvation has already been completed on the cross. Jesus did it for you and for me. We can't take anything from it. We can't add anything to it. God did it all. And he did it all by grace. Why? So we don't have anything to boast about. We just give him praise for these things. You know, in reading through this passage, we shouldn't forget verse 10. It's probably the most forgotten verse in the Bible. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We are his workmanship, his masterpiece. The Greek word there for workmanship or masterpiece is poema. And that's where we get our English word for poem. God is writing a poem with our lives. It's wonderful. We are God's workmanship. After we come to know Jesus, he's going to work in us to write what he wants written. It's not our work, it's his work that he does. And we're also created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's why we're around here. He's prepared these things from the beginning of time for us to do. There's a purpose for that, a reason, an intent for that, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And you might look at that and say, why to do? Why is it translated that way? Well, I don't know, but it makes it clear. But what he could have translated as to walk around in, because it's the same Greek word as in verse 2 up above. You know, all the things we used to do, all this stuff, you know, the sin we used to walk around in, that's what we did all the time. Well, this is the same Greek word at the end. These good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do all the time. All the time. That's the consumer, our behavior, our time, our actions, all those things. So that's what will be in the future. Maybe when you were growing up, you put your tooth under the pillow too, and you believed in a tooth fairy. Somebody put money underneath there and you got it, and you were glad. You never really thought anything about it. You just accepted it because somebody told you that's true, right? It's got to be true. Mom and Dad said it. It's got to be true, right? Somebody you love even tells you something's true. It's got to be right. Well, maybe a lot of our friends told us something about our spiritual condition, what we're really like without Jesus, or how we can get to heaven that doesn't agree with the Bible. Well, today, let's lay all that stuff that people have told us aside. It said somewhere that adults make 35,000 decisions per day. Children make a quarter of them. But children, adult, will make 35,000 decisions a day. Could add another 1,000 if you go to the candy shop, maybe. But 35,000 is the normal number that we decide on per day. Will one of those decisions today for you be about accepting Jesus as your Savior? Now, you can be like Ashley. Remember? What was she like before she heard the gospel? Closed, right? Thought she had it together. You can look around at her house, you can see that something's not together here. But after she came to know Jesus, blood started flowing. Spiritually, she came alive. And it was all by grace through faith. We can be welcomed into God's family today by his grace through faith. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this great passage of Scripture that is just wonderful. It agrees with whatever it talked about, as being us being sinful and all of us being sinful, and yet knowing by reading this Scripture that God has done something about this, offered his Son. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, if you would, stand with us again. We're going to sing The Love of God.
It goes.